You're listening to episode 14 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Visit our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo.
Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
On a camel.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
And yes, you heard us right. It's episode 14. We decided,
yes, it is.
We thought we would embrace a time-honored tradition, and that is omitting the 13th floor of a hotel property.
So, or in this case, the 13th episode.
Exactly. So we are skipping episode 13 and going right to 14. Don't analyze that.
Yeah, yeah. In advance, I would like to throw this out there. I apologize if I sound shittier than usual. I've been very under the weather over the past few days, as you can probably tell. And, yep, I am here for the show. I am here for you. Hopefully I'm not doing it more harm than good.
Yeah, Brian's Brian's pulling a Kirk Gibson here. You're stepping up to the plate despite, being down. And, I think it shows a lot of character.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yes, it does. So
yeah, yes, it does, Mark.
It sure does. I would much rather be sleeping right now.
And
I would much rather be here, which is why I set an alarm and I'm awake to do the show.
Right. Well, we appreciate that.
Absolutely. We have received another incredibly generous donation, and we certainly wanted to put our thanks out there for that.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to be able to sufficiently convey, how grateful we are when people actually,
give
us donations. But we received another one. This person requested that they remain anonymous, but you know who you are. We really appreciate the support of all of our listeners, and hope that we continue to bring you quality entertainment in the
Vegas genre.
Right, right. I mean, because I'm not going to lie, there's a little bit of pressure there when people start giving you money. But like, we really appreciate what you do. But like, what if I start sucking? Will you ask for the money back?
We're going to give you a few bones here.
Right.
And if you start failing, we want it back.
Right.
We want all of our money back with interest.
So,
shit.
Thanks so much to everybody who contributes to the show. I mean, it does cost money.
Listens to the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really listens. But, yeah, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Very awesome. So now it is time, now that that is all out of the way, it is time for Random Vegas.
All right, so the volcano at the Mirage cost $30 million to build in 1989, which is equal to the original construction cost of Caesar's Palace.
Mind-blowing.
I know. We got that tidbit from Casino Player magazine, so.
Yeah, really interesting. Really interesting piece of information there.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, they reinvested. I think it was another $25 million to have it refurbed a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. But you know what? I mean, just with inflation and everything the way it is, that I guess it's not surprising, really.
Right.
Yep. So that's it for Random Vegas. Now it is time to move on to the Vegas Mate Review of the Week.
Yeah, this week's winner is going to go to Dan for his September 7th review of Bite at Stratosphere.
And I would love to read this for our listeners and for you.
2 out of 5 chips. What did he say?
Dan said, a cash-in on vampire trend with snippets of rock songs hastily edited together. Not sexy so much as silly and has a low-rent feel. As much as I like a bit of Vegas cheese, this was not worth the trip down the strip.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a shitty review.
I really liked this review because that was a show that I was mildly interested in going to go see. And now,
is that right?
Yeah, now I, Karen is always, it's down at the Stratosphere, and we don't like to, trek that far out unless we have, a lot of things that we want to do.
That's a cab ride down there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that is.
Or a monorail ride and a long walk through a dead casino area.
Yeah.
But, this one really helped me to go, oh, all right, well, I'm not going to waste my time going down to that if that's all it is. So it's what we always preach about Vegas Mate and Rate Vegas. You know, when you're in Vegas, you develop an opinion about anything, please share it on Vegas Mate or Rate Vegas, because it helps people to decide whether they want to, you know, waste their money or their time when they're in Vegas, and this is a perfect example of it. So thank you, Dan, and thank you, Vegas Mate.
Indeed. Time for the Twit Pick of the Week winner.
This week's winner goes to @CrashRick for his picture of Caesar's Palace. The photo appears to have been taken at dusk, which provided just the right amount of backlight to help the foreground exterior lighting really, you know, kind of pop, instead of that glowy blur that anyone who's tried to take a picture of Vegas at night is very familiar with.
So this one, you're my wife.
Well, of course, your wife is clearly a professional photographer, right? Hobbyist. But this picture, it's great. It really showcases the fountains as well as the various Caesar's Towers that are there. And you know, it's hard enough to get a full picture of Caesar's Palace just because of its massive size. But, I mean, this doesn't grab it all, but it grabs a very significant chunk of it. And I thought it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a good picture.
So thank you, Crash Rick, for the picture. Fantastic. And as always, we'll link to it on our blog. We're going to put it on our Flickr page, and it will be featured on the enhanced version of our podcast. Now, it was brought to our attention by a listener that Monte Carlo has a very similar concept on Facebook to our Twit Pick of the Week, known as Fan Pick of the Week. Now, after some research, it appears that the feature didn't appear on their Facebook page until after a guest of Monte Carlo won Twit Pick of the Week on our show. So we started Twit Pick of the Week. We started that segment a month before we officially launched the show. It was May 15th. And a guest at Monte Carlo won Twit Pick of the Week on June 19th. And it appears that on July 6th, that was the first appearance of Fan Pick of the Week. So, you know, that, or at least that was the first time the idea was posted on Monte Carlo's Facebook page. So, you'll be hearing from our lawyers. No, no, I'm just... We won't
be going to those links.
No, because that requires far too much effort.
Absolutely.
And lawyers.
And money.
And money and many, many other things.
If you'd like to see us sue Monte Carlo, please increase your donation amount.
Right. Significantly. No, I addressed this with Monte Carlo, and while they said that it wasn't intentional or deliberate, they said that with all the ideas that they have floating around to try and promote the property, it is possible that our idea inspired theirs. So, and honestly, I was just really flattered.
They're saying, you know, it's possible that our feature inspired theirs. And we kind of took that as it absolutely and without a doubt inspired it completely.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, it's not like they started doing it on Twitter. I mean, they went to a medium that we weren't even using. So I was like, you know, I don't mind. We have a great relationship with Monte Carlo. We don't have a patent on Twit Pick of the Week. And, you know, it is a good idea. And I think Monte Carlo is confirming it's a good idea to do that. So,
and for that, we thank you.
Yes.
Yes. That is it for our opening segment here. Let's get right into the news. We wanted to take a moment at the beginning of our new segment here to say goodbye to one of our favorite Vegas podcasts, and that is The Strip.
Yes. Last Saturday, after a six-year run, Miles and Steve recorded the final episode of The Strip podcast, or at least the final regular episode of The Strip podcast, before embarking on their year-long fellowship at the University of Michigan. Now, as usual, they recorded the show live on Ustream, and they had a chat, and I had the pleasure of being there for the final episode.
I would have liked to have been there, but with my homework and all that stuff, it's dominating my time. I wasn't able, but
it's understood.
I'm glad you were there.
Yeah, I had a great time. I was also graced with the honor of being the board operator for the final episode. Steve was having some audio problems and asked if anyone in the chat would be able to record the show, and I jumped at the chance. I mean, I was thrilled to say that I was an important part of the final episode of The Strip podcast. So Steve did confirm this week that the audio that was used to edit the final show was mine. So I am a part of the vast and awesome history that is The Strip podcast. And then during the chat, we spoke about this last week, and we're starting to get some feedback about it, and we appreciate it, and we, you know, request that you continue to give us some feedback on this, to see if you'd be interested in us recording a live show with a chat from time to time. Now, we know that this was a really popular feature for The Strip podcast, and, you know, we're kind of up-and-comers. We're gaining our you know, we're gaining our ground here. We're getting our sea legs. But, you know, we still want to make sure that, you know, when and if we decide to do this, that there's a significant enough audience. I mean, it'd be relatively humiliating if we showed up like, all right, gang, and there's two guys.
Yeah, really.
So please continue to express that interest. Brian and I are interested in doing it, not nearly as frequently as the Strip podcast, because
it'll be periodic, right?
Right, right. Whenever we feel that it would help to enhance the show. And, you know, we've got some logistical issues that we'd have to figure out how that's going to work, because I don't know if you guys know this, but I am in Chicago and Brian is in Florida, so we record via Skype. So that's yet another logistical issue that we'd have to figure out how we want to do. But if you're interested in it, we will figure it out. So continue to let us know that now.
Yep.
Finishing up on the Strip, they're still available on iTunes. They've got a huge back catalog spanning the 6 years of the show. Not all on iTunes. Sometimes you'll have to go to their website, thestrippodcast.com, and you can get all the back episodes. You can just download them straight from there. And if you haven't heard the Strip, Steve Freese is one of the most amazing interviewers I've ever heard. I mean, that guy is an amazing talent, and apparently the University of Michigan agrees with me by giving him
that. And many others.
Yeah, right. So Steve has also encouraged people to not unsubscribe to the show, because he plans on releasing some content from various interviews that he's done over the years just as soon as he finds the time in between homework to cut those together. So we just wanted to take some time to acknowledge... Actually, the first podcast that brought me into Vegas was the Strip podcast, and I've been a fan ever since, and it, you know, it helped inspire us as well as several other shows to create this show. So thank you, Miles and Steve, and thank you, Strip Podcast. Have fun this year.
Yep, and good luck.
Yeah.
Next item for this week is the Octavius Tower, which is now set to be opening in 2012.
Yeah, Vegas Tripping let us know about this. Beginning January 2nd, 2012, you'll be able to stay at the Caesars Octavius Tower.
It's about fucking time.
I know, right? The expansion tower was mothballed 3 years ago when the economy tanked. Caesars only finished the outside, so it didn't appear incomplete, but left the inside largely empty. I mean, kind of like the Harmon. And so in 2010, they unveiled three poolside villas. Now, these things are among the largest rooms that you can rent in Vegas, as well as the most expensive. They're 10,000 square feet in size. Each costs about $15 million to complete, and they cost $40,000 a night to rent.
Yeah, I remember discussing this before, and that just blew my fucking mind.
Well, yeah, because I think the closest one after that was like $15,000 a night. I mean, it's just such a huge, huge jump from, you know, any other room. I mean, now, of course, these things are massive and decadent, and they back right up to the pool, but... Still, Jesus Christ, $40,000
a night.
I wonder if anybody ever actually pays $40,000 a night, or those rooms are always comped.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, but anyways, the rate calendar for the Octavius Tower shows the rooms are going to be running $219 to $369 during the week, and $299 to $469 on the weekends.
Yep, so pretty high-end rooms.
Yeah, which is what Octavius Tower...
Yeah, which we expected.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that, and I actually had somebody ask me a couple weeks ago how many rooms, like, what, you know, what was the resort that had the largest rooms? And they were really surprised when Caesars wasn't in it. And I had to explain to them that Caesars is all about decadence. You know, they've never been the largest hotel in all of Vegas, despite being the largest land occupier, you know, in Vegas, except maybe, you know, Wynn and Encore, just because they own the golf course and all that shit. Their rooms are massive. I mean, and all of these expansion towers, like, I think there's only like, I don't know, like 140, 200 and some rooms in the Octavius Tower. Mm-hmm. And just because they're massive, you know, they're not trying to pack people in there. They're trying to get high rollers in there. So.
Right, right. Higher end gamblers, higher end players that want the higher end rooms.
Yeah. So well done, Caesars Entertainment, for, you know, you've got Project Link or the Link, as they're calling it now. You've got the Octavius Tower being finished. I got to say, I didn't think they would be the one that would really start dumping money into the market, you know, outside of this economy. But well done. I'm glad somebody started.
Yeah. It was only a matter of time.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, we knew that. So, yeah. Next piece of news is Jet is closing at the Mirage.
Yeah, we knew this was coming. We didn't know exactly when, but we knew it was coming. Mirage's nightclub Jet officially closed for a complete remodel after 6 years of operation on the Strip. The property is set to reopen as a One Oak, and we had previously been calling it a 10AK, but apparently that was just a font issue. Everybody was writing the one right next to the oak, and it looked like 10AK. So,
oopsie.
Yeah, but it's apparently going to be renamed as One Oak. The remodel is a collaboration between the Light Group, who is currently running it, will continue to. They're just going to partner with the Butter Group. What kind of dumb name is that?
The Butter Group.
The Butter Group. Previously, we had reported that we weren't sure what was going to happen with the Light Group, but they're not leaving. They're not being replaced. They just decided to work with Butter Group to come out with this new concept, and it will be a completely different experience than anything on the Strip, or at least that's what they're telling us. So different, in fact, that they refuse to release any details because they believe it's going to be so innovative and so groundbreaking that other people are going to start to copy it, and they would like to have a little bit of exclusivity for a short period of time.
I don't know, and I apologize if this is just, if I should know this, but I don't know what one oak is supposed to mean.
I don't know either, Brian. You should not apologize. I think they should apologize for being so incredibly vague in an attempt to be hip.
Yeah, what the hell is one dash oak?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know if oak is supposed to, if it's not like an acronym for something like OAK, because it looks like it's all in caps.
Oh, that would be better. One OAK? Even that, really, though? Is that any better? One OAK?
It's not any better.
Hey, we're going out.
If the OAK means something, then, you know.
Right. Ugh, anyways.
Yep, moving on. Blush at Wynn is also closing.
Now, this one was actually a little surprising. Now, after 4 years and last Sunday, a celebration of that 4 years was hosted by Holly Madison. Blush nightclub closed yesterday. The announcement was made via Twitter by the company that runs the nightclub, Nightlife Group. Last Tuesday, they announced it on Twitter. Wynn confirmed the report the following day and announced that it would be hosting a job fair for the employees that are going to be laid off because of the closure. There's no word why they're closing, no word if they're going to replace the nightclub. It's got nothing to do with their relationship with the Nightlife Group, because Wynn Resorts and the Nightlife Group still have a partnership in the Encore Beach Club / Surrender Nightclub at Encore. So, I don't know. Maybe they just, I don't know if this is more Marilyn Spiegel getting her hands and tearing up, the Wynn properties, or if they've got something in mind here. But there you go.
In other news, Holstein's owners are expanding.
Yeah, Vegas Tripping let us know about this. Block 16 Hospitality, the company behind Holstein's at Cosmopolitan, they announced that they signed a lease with Palazzo to open a new dining concept called the Public House. Now, the Public House will...
Are we going to be able to get, like, bowls of soup and free slices of bread?
Ooh. I don't know if that would be...
Kind of like a soup kitchen?
I don't know if that would be in line with the quality we're used to at Holstein's, but who knows?
No.
Perhaps Palazzo is going for the homeless demographic that has been overlooked for so long.
Sorry, that was a shitty joke. But
no, it worked.
I'm glad you took it in a nice direction.
Thank you. I didn't know where it was going. I just went with it.
No, it worked out all good in the end.
All right. Now, the Public House is going to be opening on the casino side space that was formerly occupied by Aquanox, which I have no idea what that is. Maybe that was a bar of sorts. Perhaps I should have looked it up, but I don't really care.
It was a toothpaste store.
not really popular, surprisingly. I mean, it had some quality store frontage right there by the casino, but apparently...
Sorry, all the medication today just has me grasping at straws here.
Anything I can't pick up, I'll cut out so our listeners can't hear anyways.
There we go.
That's the magic of editing. Now, it is said that the Public House is going to be offering a large variety of craft beers, as well as contemporary versions of tavern classics. So, I don't exactly know what that means, if they're talking about, like, fish and chips kind of shit, or, I don't know what kind of... They didn't specifically say an English tavern, but whenever I hear the word tavern, that's what I immediately go to.
Yeah. We're poking fun at it a little bit here, but it actually sounds like a really good idea, and it sounds like something I would be very interested in visiting.
Well, it's Holstein's. I mean, that place is awesome. I'll give anything that they do a
chance.
Shot. Yeah. Yeah, so well done, folks.
Yep. Next piece of news is another Caesars all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-whatever.
Yeah. All right, so it started with the all-access, all-you-can-eat buffet, or they also call it the Buffet of Buffets deal, and that gave you 24-hour access to almost all of the Caesars property buffets for one price. Then they came out with the all-access pass. Now, that gave you the ability to see almost all of the shows available at the Caesars properties, also in a 24-hour period, and now they're offering the all-night pass. This promotion, of course, is going to give you access to almost all of the nightclubs at the Caesars properties for one price. It's $44.99 for total rewards members and $49.99 for non-members. And don't forget, it's free to sign up, so why wouldn't you? the clubs that you'll have what they're calling no-line access will include Pure at Caesar's Palace, Chateau Gardens at Paris, the Gallery and the Pussycat Dolls Burlesque Saloon at Planet Hollywood, Crown and Voodoo at Rio, and the Carnival Court at Harrah's, which, if I recall, is free. So I don't know how that works. I don't know. Maybe there is.
It might be because of the no-line access.
I guess, yeah. You know, the passes are going to be available Thursday through Sunday. They're going to be valid from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And it does have some blackout dates, which you'll have to, you know, ask them about or check out online. Because you can get these tickets at Vegas.com, which, of course, would have that information. And at every Caesars property except Caesars, Rio, and Bill's. I just thought that was weird. Especially since Caesars and Rio both have nightclubs that you would be able to visit. I don't understand why you wouldn't be able to buy a...
Whatever Caesars.
So what do you think of this idea as far as nightclubs go?
I mean, I guess it's fine. I would never personally purchase it because I'm not much of a club guy anymore. But, you know, I guess it's pretty cool if you're a clubber.
Yeah.
If that's something you're interested in doing.
If it legitimately doesn't have lines, I could totally see the interest in this. Because somebody like me, you know, I'm not a huge fan of house music or techno. Or at least it plays on my nerves after a period of time. And, you know, I like going to clubs. I wouldn't say I'm one of those people. You know, I'm not your stereotypical club-going douche that you see in Vegas. You know, but I like to dance. I like to go to a nightclub with my wife and have a good time. But if the music isn't any good, you know, I don't want to be there. So this would kind of be a good thing if it legitimately doesn't have any lines for somebody like me to check out a bunch of these to find out, you know, if I get into this place and I'm like, yeah, I don't really like this place or it's too busy, you know, I think it'd be a good idea. But my concern is, I actually discussed this potential issue with one of our listeners this week on Twitter, and that is this really going to have no line access, or is there now going to be
a no line area?
Yeah. And that's my concern, because that's the one thing that I hate about Las Vegas nightclubs is those fucking lines. I've there's so much shit that I could be doing in Vegas. Why am I standing in this line?
Yeah, and being going to a club where you have the potential at not having to wait in a line, is it really worth $50?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to tap into club goers and let us know that.
Yep. So that's it for that. Next piece is the Mob Experience is closing already for a retool and reworking.
Yeah, it's a little surprising, and some people are automatically becoming alarmed by this news and calling doom to it. But, you know, hopefully this is just – hopefully it is just what they're saying it is. It's a retool, because we didn't get a chance to enjoy that, and I still would. So it was announced this week that starting tomorrow, Monday – that the Mob Experience at Tropicana is going to be shutting down for an undetermined amount of time to make what they're calling significant improvements to a large amount of the attraction. All of the holograms are going to be shut down. All of the live actors have been let go. The atrium is still going to be available for people to view at a reduced ticket price. It's only going to be about $10 as opposed to, I think it was like $25 or $30 before. The atrium displays artifacts and memorabilia, et cetera, et cetera. There was no specific date that was given for the reopening, but the spokesman did report that it would be likely that it would be reopening in January. So yeah, I mean, it was reported since day one of that place opening. They were having issues with the holograms, with some of the other, I think it's the ID badges that would read who you are as you went through the attraction and interact with you. They were having issues with those. So you would think if they were actually going to close the whole thing, the atrium wouldn't still be open. So you got to believe that they really are just reinvesting in this.
Well, we hope so. You know, we didn't get the chance to see it, which I'm really kind of disappointed about. But hopefully they're not going to be reworking it too much to the point where we missed out on the original incarnation of it. And they're just kind of improving what's already there.
Yeah, am I the only one that I didn't realize that they had live actors? Am I the only one that felt uncomfortable once you heard that?
Yeah, no, I did. I felt that way, too, because sometimes you worry about the cheese factor.
Right.
So that's kind of the first concern of mine that I had when I figured that out.
Yeah, reading that article, I mean, it actually turned me off of an interest in going to see it, just because it seems like outside of Disney, that when you have people who are playing a role, they seem to play it to like they take it further than it should be. Like they won't kind of let it go, you know. Whereas, you know, Disney's become a master at this, where they kind of invite you to play along. But if you don't, you know, they don't continue to shove it in your face. You know, like,
yeah, it doesn't continue to be uncomfortable.
Right, right. I mean, they may address that you're not playing along, and then, you know, if you ignore them, like, oh, all right, well, this person clearly doesn't want to do this, so let's just pretend they're not there. And right. It almost seems like in every place outside of Disney, they kind of get incensed when you refuse to play along, or they just don't care from the beginning. So. Right. Yeah, you know, you don't want to hear about people losing their jobs, but I wouldn't be disappointed if they didn't bring back live actors.
Right, right. And then in our last piece of news for this week, the Beer Fest is delayed.
Yes, our friends at 500 brought this information to us, and incredibly disappointing. This is probably more disappointing than the mob experience. We reported a couple months ago, I don't recall if we were in beta or not, but a couple months ago, they were going to have Beer Fest. It was going to be a year-long celebration. It was going to be located behind Bally's. They were going to have hundreds of different beers from all over the world that you could come in. They had various ticket packages for various sampling opportunities or experiences. Well, it was planned to open October 13th. However, it was announced on their site that it has been delayed, but promised that they would have new dates coming soon, which is kind of that's usually the announcement that's set out there when they say, oh no, we've got some new dates coming soon, meaning we don't know if this is ever going to come off the ground, and we really hope that we can tell you we're coming back, so we're just going to remain incredibly vague and then disappear into the landscape.
Yeah, that's disappointing because that's typically what happens with these sort of things. But what a shame.
Well, and 500 brought up something that I hadn't thought of, and that's the location. I mean, that's an outdoor area where they were just going to throw up tents to have people walk under, and you know, factoring that into it. I don't know why I ever thought this was going to happen in the first place. Why would they have mountains and mountains of beer? I mean, what are they going to have, electrical cords being pumped to refrigerators, or they're just constantly replacing ice in you know, around the kegs? Or
you think about it that way, it does sound like a clusterfuck, really.
Yeah, I don't know why I ever thought this was going to happen. I mean, I guess that's our rookie inexperience in Vegas news and you know, the promise of future attractions.
Yeah, we look at the concept more than the actual logistical things that are the going-ons behind that.
Yeah, and 500 brought in their savvy veteran experience to say, really? Is this how it's going to work? And yeah. I'm like, oh, I feel like an idiot now. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was never going to happen.
It's a good idea, but...
Yeah, you got to put that in someplace or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, no Beer Fest.
Yeah, no Beer Fest. Wah. That's it for the news. Let's move into Playing Vegas. Playing Vegas, of course, is the portion of our show where we discuss up-and-coming performances and acts that are going to be occurring within the next week.
So we'll start that off with Tuesday. Black Star, which is Mos Def and Talib Kweli, they're going to be playing at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Their show's going to start at 8 p.m., and the tickets run $50.
For Friday, Kesha will be performing at Planet Hollywood. Her show's going to start at 8, and tickets will range from $48 to $82.
To follow with a complete Clorox washing of the,
yes.
of the venue in question.
Fumigation, etc. Also on Friday, Carlos Mencia will be performing at Treasure Island. Show starts at 8 p.m.
Ned, yes. Our friend Ned. Sorry.
That's okay. That show's going to start at 8 p.m. and tickets will be $41 to $76. Continuing for Friday, One Republic is playing at Mandalay Bay. That show's going to start at 9 p.m. and tickets will be $52. And capping off Friday, Fantasia with John B. are performing at the Las Vegas Hilton. That show's going to start at 10 p.m., and tickets will be ranging from $69 to $90.
Fantasia, the career that won't die.
Yeah. We wish it would, though.
I know. Why John B. has attached himself to that, I don't know, but...
Maybe he needs a few bucks.
Yeah, why not? You know, it's his time came and went. It's all right, John. You gotta work hard for that money. Attach yourself to Fantasia's falling star.
We can't hold on to the late 90s forever.
That's right. Soon he will be at... Well, he's already at the Hilton, so...
Yeah.
I guess is the Hilton beyond Orleans? Is that, no, is that a step
I
down?
I was just going to ask that. Now, is he already past his Orleans days?
Or I don't know.
Are those yet to come?
I don't know. That's a great, great question. I guess we shall see. We'll keep an eye on John B's career and see where it goes. on Friday,
they don't know.
No, they clearly do not. I mean, he's been relegated to an opening act for Fantasia. So,
yeah.
Sorry, John.
Poor John B.
Poor John. Anyways, Friday and Saturday, Ray Romano is going to be at the Mirage. His show is going to start at 10 a.m. or 10 a.m. I don't think so. His show is going to start at 10 p.m. and those tickets run 108 to 137. And also Friday and Saturday, David Spade is going to be performing at the Venetian. His show is going to start at 9 p.m. and those tickets run 66 to 176. I would love to see Spade.
Yeah, he would be funny, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Yep. Moving on to Saturday, Train is playing at Mandalay Beach. That show is going to start at 7 p.m., and tickets for that will be $73. And also on Saturday, Maroon 5 will be at the Pearl at Palms. That show is going to start at 9 p.m., and tickets will be $66 to $101.
And capping off playing Vegas, Sunday, Fabulous is going to be performing with Jada Kiss at the Pearl at Palms. That show is going to start at 9 p.m., and tickets run $45 to $99.
That's it for Playing Vegas. It's on to the Jackpot segment. Jackpot segment, of course, is where we report any and all Twitter-reported jackpots that have occurred over the last week. And we kind of have a small list for this week.
We do.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. We'll start off with Sunday, September 4th. Circus Circus reported an $11,000 jackpot on a...
Insert drumroll.
Right.
You guessed it. They failed to give us a name yet again.
You know, I don't... Like I said, I love doing the Name the Game segment. But, I mean, it really makes you wonder if this isn't an accurate representation of the effort that they put into their property. Because, literally, every single time that they post this, and it doesn't have a name, I always ask them, like, hey, what's the name of the game? And nothing. I get no response. I mean, and Circus Circus seems to have, you know, a relatively consistent jackpot reporting, but... I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, and maybe they really are doing. Maybe they really do think it's more fun that we spend so much time on their jackpot and come up with.
Maybe they don't know
games.
About it and they just don't give a shit.
I know, right? Which is the more likely of the two? But
right. We like to live in our own little world here at the 360 Vegas podcast.
Yeah, why not? Why not? So,
and within that world, we name the game.
Yeah, and that game is the Sexy Time slot featuring Borat.
Sexy now, time.
Yes. Now this game wasn't nearly as popular as you would think it is because. The bonus round was kind of off-putting. It was inspired by the naked fight slash chase scene that they had in the movie, where the screen becomes Ryan, I'm not gonna beat around the bush. His wang overwhelms the screen. It kind of runs all over the screen, and it's your job to smack it various times all over the screen where it's here, and you know, depending on if you're able to. I don't know. I guess smack it in the proper way. I never played this game, Brian. I'm just reporting on it. But from my understanding is that if you complete the bonus round, you get a refreshing mist spray in your face at the end as a reward.
Jesus Christ! You put way too much thought into that.
I actually have to give credit where credit is due. I kind of ripped that off from South Park, but good nonetheless.
Yeah. It's truly giving the reinforcing the traditional name of the one-armed bandit.
Yes, it is, Brian. Yes.
Moving on to Monday, September 5th, Stratosphere reported a real jackpot, $1,800 jackpot on a $1 triple diamond slot machine, as well as a $6,659.66 jackpot on a penny triple diamond slot.
Well, just to be clear, Circus Circus does report real jackpots, just not real games.
Right. So,
following on with Monday, the Palms reported a $10,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine.
And Tuesday, September 6th, Bally's reported an $11,391 jackpot on a 5-cent Sphinx real slot.
Also on Tuesday, Riviera reported a $6,000 jackpot on a $1 Big Times pay machine.
And finally for Tuesday, Stratosphere reported a $7,200 jackpot on a $1 triple diamond slot machine.
And then Wednesday, September 7th, Stratosphere reported a $28,255 jackpot on a $5 double-double bonus poker machine.
So bringing up our very meager leaderboard for September so far, we have Stratosphere in the number one position, having reported 5 jackpots via Twitter, totaling $45,914.66.
Riviera came in second with 3 jackpots for a total of $22,596 in prizes awarded.
Cash and prizes.
Cash and prizes.
And then bringing up the ass end, Palms in the number 3 spot with 2 reported jackpots via Twitter totaling $20,000.
Really? The ass end?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. So that's it for jackpots. Now it is on to the Vegas deals. Vegas deals, very simply, is our segment of the show where we help you save money in Vegas.
Yeah.
Whether it be rooms or packages or food or shows or anything like that, we will try to find great deals and report them to you here.
We're a huge fan of Vegas packages, especially the large ones.
Very big packages.
Large throbbing packages. What? So wait a minute. Large, that doesn't make any sense.
Large bulbous packages. So our first Vegas deal for this week is coming from the Rio, and they are offering a free shot glass when you buy a 750-milliliter bottle of booze from their logo gift shop. Offer is good until they run out of shit to sell you.
That's right. When they run out of overstock.
Yep.
And then the last deal we have for you is a Monte Carlo package.
Now, as promised, we love packages.
We do love packages, and Monte Carlo's got a huge package, and we love that package. Big fans. they've released, or they've let us know about their new social media deals. Now, these are actually going to be starting in October and November. So if you're looking to book in advance, you got a October trip all lined up, or you're interested in going in October or November, here's some deals for you. The one we're going to talk about today is the Team Social deal. I'm overwhelmed by this package.
It keeps bumping you in the nose.
just back up. I'm trying to get a concept of the girth here. Jesus.
My eyes can't focus.
Don't be so eager.
So, a little overzealous.
Right. So the package we're going to talk about today is the Team Social deal. In this deal, they offer you 15% off of a deluxe room rate, guaranteed late checkout, which would have been great when we were at the Cosmopolitan, 2 free drinks at HIT, 2-for-1 entrees at the pub, and then on top of any package you select of the Monte Carlo social media deals, you will get invited guest check-in, which is a special line. It's usually shorter and quicker. You get 15% off food at Dragon Noodle and Divino, 24/7 happy hour at the pub, 2-for-1 rafts at the pool, and 20% off of -5, which I know I can't reiterate enough. First of all, this isn't a commercial. We don't have a financial relationship with Monte Carlo.
Nope, they just really dig this package.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
and all their packages, really.
That's right. They have a collection of awesome packages. But we're just such a big fan of the stuff we're doing. I mean, you tell me one other resort in Vegas that offers this many discount offers, you know, just for booking with them. I think it's awesome, and that's why we support what they're doing.
You know what would really be the icing on the cake for these packages, though?
Shoot.
No resort fees.
Oh, fuck. I keep forgetting that's the one thing that's always stinging Monte Carlo and all the MGM properties. I really wish that they would kind of go the Caesars Entertainment and the Cosmopolitan route and just get rid of those damn things. I would much rather, listen, as a person that absolutely loves Vegas, I would much rather you tell me the room cost $20 more a day than you sneak it in. Because what happens is I just automatically feel like you're trying to fuck me over. And yep. I don't want anything to do with it. So, seriously, I know this plea has been made 100 times by various media people and visitors and fans of Vegas. Just get rid of the damn resort fees, seriously.
Yep, they're old. Yeah. Old. Yep.
They're weak sauce. Absolutely. Hashtag fail.
Yep. So that is going to conclude Vegas deals. Now it is time to move on to coming attractions. Coming attractions is the opportunity for us to share upcoming attractions with you. Shows and shows and events and upcoming acts and performances. Absolutely. That are going to be occurring in the more distant future as compared to our Playing Vegas segment. So these are going to be opportunities for you to see a non-residency performance in a unique setting a little bit more advanced notice.
Yeah, this segment is really for the planner in all of our listeners. You know, those of you who, like me, love to plan their Vegas trip very much in advance.
Starting off this segment for this week is Morrissey, who's going to be performing at the Chelsea at Cosmopolitan on Friday, November 25th. That show's going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will be $66.
Louis C.K. is going to be performing at the Pearl at Palms October 29th. His show's going to start at 9 p.m., and those tickets run $53 to $83.
Jerry Springer is going to be hosting The Price is Right Live at Bally's from November 9th through December 11th, excluding Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, no additional charge for that, just thought it'd be interesting.
Yep, absolutely.
Katie Lang is performing at the Pearl at Palms Saturday, October 22nd. Show starts at 8 p.m. and tickets run $49 to $82.
And wrapping upcoming attractions for this week, Lady Antebellum will be performing at the Joint at Hard Rock Friday, November 18th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. and tickets will range from $41 to $45 and will go on sale on Saturday, September 17th at noon Pacific time.
And, of course, we'll have links to, on the blog to all of our news stories, links to purchase tickets to any of these acts, and if, of course, you need a link to any of the Vegas deals that we have, that'll also be listed there.
Yep.
So that's going to do it for the show, and I just wanted to thank my co-host here for being the trooper that he was today and really kind of taking one for the team, coming out injured and still putting on a hell of a performance.
Yeah, you know, I do what I can. And I do what I can for the show.
That's right.
So that is going to do it. As always, we encourage any and all feedback, good or bad. So if you'd like to reach out to us, you may do so by any of the following methods. We can be found at 360VegasPodcast.com. That is our blog where, again, as Mark had mentioned, you'll find all the links to all of our notes, as always, from all of our shows. You can find us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/360Vegas. We're on Facebook. That's facebook.com/360Vegas. And if you'd like to send us an email, you may do so at 360VegasPodcast@gmail.com. Anything else, sir, before we close off the show here?
No, okay. Just get some rest. Hey, it's football today. Football. Yep. Are you actually going to enjoy any of it, or are you going to try and rest up some more?
Yeah, you know what? The beauty of football is that I do not have to exert myself or expend any energy doing so.
Good to hear. You rest up, enjoy some football, and have a good one.
Yep, same to you. Thanks, everybody.
Yep, see you next week.